Check, check. Can you hear me? Well, that doesn't matter. Look at this going. Hey, good morning. Isn't it a beautiful morning? And is there a reason to praise God and to give Him thanks today? Amen? Yeah, let's just give Him a big hand and thank Him for the worship. We're grateful that Brenda could be here. We're grateful that we can lift up. Yeah, we can lift up a shout of joy and a shout of praise, and that's what we're going to do today. We want everything to be sort of tempered with gratitude today. It is so important that our lives express that gratitude, that we come and we bring a thank offering today, a thank offering. We bring ourselves, and we bring the things that we're grateful for. Amen? All right, so you know what? Let's stand up. Let's find someone that you haven't met yet. Maybe someone you don't even know. Let's shake their hands and say to them, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Welcome. Welcome to this place. Welcome to worship. Welcome to just an opportunity and a place to give praise to God. I think by now most of us have been greeted. Maybe not. That's all right. The Bible says that, you know, in the early church, they devoted themselves to fellowship and prayer. So this is fellowship. This is good. We get to know each other. We get to break some of those, you know, those boundaries, some of those walls. We get to hug each other. We get to tell each other we love each other. And we're going to be there for each other. We're praying for one another. Amen? Amen. Okay, now sit down. That's enough. No. Amen. This is an exciting day. This is an exciting day. It's always good, right? The psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Okay, we can do better than that. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, now a few of you are standing. Let's all stand and do this. I was glad. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was glad. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Woo. All right. Now you may sit down. Get everyone all fired up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There's a little later on, we're going to hear God's word, and then we're actually going to have a baptism again this morning. Amen. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So our brother Clay is going to get baptized at the end of the service, and I'm going to give the same invitation that I've given over the past number of weeks, that if you feel God calling you to be baptized, if it's time for you to turn your life over to Jesus, if you're tired of the way that you've been living and it's time for something new to happen in your life, you are invited. Just take this as a personal invitation that God is calling you to get into the tank. God's calling you to get into the water. Maybe it's time for you to get cleaned up. There's stuff that needs to be dealt with in your life, and you need a brand new beginning. So that we leave the water in. It's a standing invitation. And not too long from now, maybe we'll be able to go to the river. But right now, we're still going into the tank, and today we do it with Clay. But if God is calling you and you know that he's drawing you today, then that invitation at the end of this service, there'll be an opportunity. And you might say, well, you know what? I didn't bring any extra clothes. And my answer to that is too bad. Yeah. I mean, you know what? If you're that worried about getting wet and you say, well, I don't want to, you know, get baptized or get wet, then don't get baptized. Like, then it isn't, it really isn't something you want to do. It really isn't the Holy Spirit calling you. If you're worried about getting wet, you know, it's a pretty nice day out there. You can get wet, you'll get home, you'll be fine, right? So I just invite you, we believe this. Just listen to this now. We believe, if this is Pentecost Sunday, we believe that there's power in changing our lives when we're baptized. That there's something, it's not just some formality, it's not just some religious thing we do. But when you get in the water, the old you is buried, and the old you is dead, and there's a new you that rises up out of that water. Amen? So the message is, if you're ready for that new you, if you're ready to bury the old you and make sure the old you is in the grave of the water, and you want to be raised to a new life, and if you want to experience that Holy Spirit, maybe you're here today and you go, you know, I've been here a few times, and these people keep talking about the Holy Spirit. I see something in them, and I don't know what that even means. Well, it's hard to explain the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things you kind of need to experience him. He needs to be in you. You just need to have faith and believe that what the Bible says is true. And when Jesus came out of the Jordan River, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. In the early church, when people were baptized, first they repented, by the way. That's important. You repent. You say, I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I'm sorry for my sins. I want a new start with you. When you repent, here's the promise that when you come up out of that water, there is a new man and there's a new woman. Amen? And he fills you with his Holy Spirit. Amen? So that is an invitation. I don't want to harp on it, but it's for you. So if you want to be part of that, at the end of the service, I'm just going to ask you to come forward, and you can join Clay and me and Chad, who's going to get in the water too. Okay. Just so you know, Chad. All right. There's a couple things before we break into some Thanksgiving, because we're going to give thanks today. Short little things we're thankful for. And I want to ask Robin, and I think Chad, I don't know if both of you are coming up, and you're going to say a couple things about next weekend, so why don't you come up?
Okay, well, I'll get the first one out of the way, and then we'll share our thing. So Hope Mission is still doing their 5-kilometer run. It's on June 11th, and we need about 80 more volunteers for things like registration, handing out water, race marshals. You don't need to run 5 kilometers. I'm not. Thank you, Lord. No, my job keeps switching. But anyway, so June 11th, the information is on the sheet. It's posted on the board outside. If you want to take a picture of it so you have the contact info, we could really use as many people's help as we can get. More importantly to us, next weekend, it's a Kids in Action program, so it's basically just to teach them discipline and training and... the 5K run is kind of their reward for all the work they've done training for it, and then they get a big barbecue put on by Crossroads afterwards. And all the volunteers are welcome to be at the barbecue as well. So, can I get to the important stuff now, Doug? Okay, so this guy right here, if you don't know, is the love of my life, who I have been so wonderfully blessed with, and we are getting married next weekend.
For those of you that have missed any of the announcements, there is little pamphlets that we can give, and we're just giving an open invite. We hope everybody comes to celebrate with us, and we're just so grateful that the God we serve is a God of new beginnings, and what he does is just always new and fresh, and we're so excited at what he's done, and we're just going to have a celebration and a party. And that's true, yeah. So you can't move in, Jesse, sorry. Yeah, so we're hoping you can make it. And please connect with Arlene for food, because she's only had so far a couple people. It is a potluck at 4:44 in the afternoon with reception to follow. So,
no, that is the reception.
I'm correcting
already.
So yeah.
Wedding at 11:11.
And I'm learning quick. Reception. So wedding at 11:11, reception,
the wedding comes first.
Reception at 4:44. There'll be a potluck. Please connect with Arlene regarding what to bring.
Yeah.
So she's only had a couple people connect with her so far. So anything else?
love you.
Yeah, I love you too. And then we'll be gone for at least a week. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You need to learn two very important words. Yes, dear. And I know that because today, you know, thinking about, you know, things that we're grateful for, today, 37 years ago, my wife said that she would be my wife. So, woo! Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, some of you are going, bless her, bless her, bless her. And you're right. You're right. Thank God for Crystal. Amen. Okay, just a few things that are coming to mind. Jeff, you want to come up here? And actually, God's power. I want to pray for you today. Can you come up here too? I'm just going to, yeah. This man's name is God's power. I know you think I'm making that up, but. So, Jeff, you'll join me in this, but God's power is okay if I put my hands on you. I know you're going back to Nigeria in about a week and a half or 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay. And when you go back, you're going to see your family.
Sure.
And you're there for a couple of months?
2 months.
Okay. I'm not trying to make this up. I want to make sure I'm telling your story. Is there anything that we can pray for you in particular?
Protection.
Yep.
So much violence there.
Violence there, yes.
Yeah. Protection.
Is your family, are they all saved?
They are safe.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so I'm going to pray for you, and maybe Jeff, you'll put your hand on him as well as a brother. We just join around him. Lord, we don't lay hands easily, or we don't lay hands carelessly. Just want to pray for our brother, God's power, as in a little while he'll be going back to his country of Nigeria, and we pray for protection for him. We pray that you will lead him by the power of your Spirit. We thank you for his family and for the great faith that his family has. And Lord, that you will expand your kingdom and that you will expand the gospel through God's power and through the people of God's power's family. Thank you, God, for that. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with Nigeria. We know what turmoil that country has gone through. We know how many people have lost their lives. We know, Lord, how people have been kidnapped. And there's so many terrible things that have happened in that country. So we pray for peace for Nigeria. We pray that your people would rise up. And Lord, that there be just a revival and a turning of hearts to Jesus. We pray against those who want to take life and who want to destroy. And we pray for your protection right now, God, in Jesus' name. We pray for this and that. I believe, God, that there's a real purpose why God's power is going back home and that he's going to come back. And in a few months, he's going to relay what you're doing and what you did as you brought him there. So God, we pray for our brother, and we expect you to do powerful things through God's power in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, brother. About a month ago, a little more than a month ago, a good man here, Jeff, received a word from God. It was a prophetic word, and we always take that seriously. We also weigh it. A word of God like this needs to be weighed. We weigh it according to God's word and knowing that it's truth and hearing that this is God's particular word for us at a particular time. And so I want Jeff to now read it and ask you to receive it.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and reverence is healing and health to your bones. For my eyes are on all your ways, not one is hidden from my sight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but trust in me. For many are the plans of man, but it is the Lord's plan that will prevail. Be quiet before me and find rest for your soul, for I desire that you rest in me and draw nearer than ever before. I long for our intimacy to deepen and for you to hear me more clearer than ever before. I have called you friends, and I desire to reveal my plans with my friends. For I know the plans I have planned for you, and they are good plans. I will soon return, and all will be revealed, and all those I have called by my name will know who I am face to face. for I am a God of relationship, and I desire relationship with my people. For my son walked before me and served me while he dwelt among you, leaving an example for you on how to walk before me, blameless, pure, holy, for this pleases me. As an earthly father disciplines a disobedient son or daughter, so I discipline my sons and daughters when they are disobedient and stray from the path. I have given you everything you need to walk in godliness and holiness. I have given you my Holy Spirit. In this world you will have trouble from time to time, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And remember that I only discipline and chasten those whom I love. And I love you, all of you. So let my love in you be the signature of my people, flowing out from you to all those around you.
Can you agree with that by just saying amen? Amen, Lord. That's truth. Thank you for that. I just feel, Karen, would you pray and just thank God for his word? I just felt like when we were hearing that, God was saying that you need to just pray and on behalf of us, ask God to implement his word.
Holy Father, just thank you so much for this awesome word that you gave to Jeff. You are a God of relationship. You have called us each to be in your presence, to sit and to be still and to rest and to be quiet. It's in your rest that we find you closer to us, that we hear your voice and we know what you want for us to do. You speak to each one of us individually. You have each of us a purpose and a calling, and it is different from each one. We are a family joined together. We are the knees and the hips and the ankles, but we work together as one body. And we don't always do the same thing or operate in the same way. So it is more important for us to dwell in your presence, to know where you want us to go, Lord. And so this word is very, very timely for us today, Lord. And I just pray that as we go forward from this day forward, that we as a body will learn to listen for your voice, to learn to see where you are leading us down the path, Lord, and not for our glory and not for our presence, but for your glory and for your presence, Lord. It's nothing to do with us. It's just that we become obedient children and we learn to live in your love. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, God. So in about 5 minutes, I'm going to just ask you to, you know, a simple question. And I've done this lots of times. You know how this goes. What are you thankful for? And I know we're not going to be like the mic to everybody. They're going to be just kind of like pop-ups. You pop up, you say, I'm thankful for this. This is not a time for long stories. That'll happen another day. Today, it's just a day of, hey, I just want to say thank you to God. And it's a way, it's kind of like popcorn, you know, pop, 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 pop. I don't know why I said that, just thinking about that visually. I'm just saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, praise you, God, worship you, God, glory to God. And by doing so, we express our gratitude. It says that we should bring a sacrifice of praise to God. And it shouldn't be that hard to do. We should be able to think about something that you're thankful for. And sometimes what happens is, as I hear other people saying, hey, I'm thankful for this, or I'm thankful, you go, yeah, that is a good one. Yeah, that. And it leads to other things so that we actually are grateful. It's good to say you're grateful. Sometimes people do that, right, to say, well, thank you, but we don't really mean it, right? We want to mean it. We want it to flow from us to God today. And I believe that when that happens and when we do that, we make eye contact with the Father. Eventually we do. Eventually we make eye contact with him through the Holy Spirit, and we just want to say, there's nothing else to say, Father, but thank you. Last Sunday we had what we called, the first time ever, Surplus Sunday. And we had tables. The tables are still set up. We're going to bring them down here before the baptism. We brought food. We presented, I don't know, about 15 people with vouchers for food or for gas. We provided some people with the ability to get their phones working again. So, and we prayed for people. We had a long line of people, and they went on for an hour or longer, the people who were praying and ministering to people. and we were able to give some vouchers for food and for gas and for phones. And as an expression of our love, and the question that God's really been challenging us with is, do you love each other? Do you really love each other? And what does that look like for my church to really love each other? Do you really care? I mean, some of us aren't that easy to love, right? I mean, let's be honest. Maybe that includes me too. You know, not everyone's easy to love. It's hard to love. Love is hard work. Love is hard work. But that's really the question that we need to ask, and we're going to keep asking ourselves, what does it look for us to really love each other? How do we really care for one another? Are we really interested in what's going on in each other's lives so that we get involved in the right way? So that we're not just gossiping or judging each other, but we're trying to help, trying to contribute to the wholeness of one another, right? How do we do that? I hope you'll be praying about that. I'm praying about that all the time. I know that God wants to teach us more. And I believe with all my heart that the more that we learn how to love one another, the more the church will grow and the more we'll see the signs and the wonders and the amazing things of God. So last Sunday was Surplus Sunday. We're going to do that again sometime, not every Sunday. Maybe we'll do it once a month or once every couple months. I'm not sure yet. Leadership here will talk about that. But we want to be able to do that as an expression of our love. It, like I said last Sunday, it's not going to solve all the problems. You might walk away with a gas voucher for $50 or whatever. That's not going to mean you're going to always have gas in your car. Sorry if you thought that. You're going to end up running out of gas again. This is not going to solve your problems. We still need to just totally lean on Jesus and rely on Jesus. And it's more a gesture. It's more an example of love. Here's how we love one another. And before we do the thank thing, I just want to just say one thing that God's been kind of laying on my heart. And that's having to do with our possessions. And, you know, when we read that the last few weeks about the early church and how they gave their possessions, they sold their goods and their possessions so that everyone who had a need, isn't that something? Everyone who had a need had that need met. And I've been just really thinking about this lately. I know it's kind of crazy thinking. But let me just ask you this question. Do you have anything in your life, any possession, that you don't need? I mean, aren't we kind of in a world where we got garages and basements full of all kinds of junk that we never get rid of and it's always there? And, you know, he's been kind of convicting me, going, well, maybe we just got to sell some stuff, you know? Maybe that's okay to do that. That's what they did in the early church. You might think, well, I have no money at all, but I got a couple of old kids' clothes or a couple of toys from when my kids were 2 years old, and maybe I'll only get $2. I could sell them for a toonie. Doesn't matter. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you bring. It doesn't matter whether it's a toonie or $200. God doesn't care, but we should all think about this. How can we contribute so that the needs of everyone is met? And I think, I know in my life, I got to go, oh, I got all kinds of junk that some of it's valuable. Some of it's, I don't even want it. Some of it's very valuable or maybe not as valuable as I think it is. But we could sell things and we can contribute to the needs of others. And I want to just kind of plant that seed today. Now, Psalm 100. Let me read Psalm 100. No, I'm good. Paul Ann might need water. He's going to preach here in a minute. I'm not going to take all your time here either, brother. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's give thanks to God. If you have something to thank God for, stand up, and I'll point you out. Robin, you're first. Say it loud.
I am thankful that God's plans always work out better than my own.
Thank you, God, that your plans work out better than mine. Lynn.
I'm thankful for the church that we have a place to come and worship and to love God.
Amen. Rob.
I'm thankful for my
Yeah, thank you, God. Darcy. Thank you for healing God, yes.
And I'm thankful that the Lord on Monday is going to be 7 years of Sonny and I being married. And I thank the Lord that he's touching Sonny right now. Yeah.
Thank you, God. Amen. Sam.
I'm thankful for spiritual family.
Amen. Thank you for spiritual family.
I'm thankful I'm getting baptized today.
Woohoo! Amen. Me too. Marilise.
I'm grateful for the most precious gift of all, the gift of salvation, to take us to heaven.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Someone else. Yeah, Mel.
I thank you for opening my eyes and seeing the glorious God that I've never seen before. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Jay.
I'm just thankful I found my way here. This is my fourth week here. And I'm just thankful for all of you people here that don't know me. And I know that you all love me. And I love you all back. Praise Jesus to all
Amen.
Of you.
Amen. Lift him up. Come on, give him a big hand. Thank you, God.
I'm thankful for my friends that love Jesus because they push me towards a higher standard.
Amen. Amen. Tim.
I'm thankful for God making my 15-year-old daughter's day really special yesterday. She got her license, or her learner's license, and she got her first job, and she was pretty nervous about both those things, and she didn't know if she'd get those.
Amen. What's your daughter's name? Holly? Thank you, God. Lord, just pray right now for Holly that you'll keep her safe. This business is starting to learn to drive is kind of a lot of things to learn. I pray for Holly. We remember her. Keep her safe behind the wheel. Thank you for angels that protect. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who else? Mary. Thank you, Jesus, right?
I thank the Lord for... Thank the Lord for his discipline and his love and his provision.
That can't be good. Karina.
I'm thankful for unconditional love, forgiveness, and my life.
Amen. Amen. Okay, hold on a minute. We gotta just stop sometimes. She said, thank you, God, for unconditional love and for your life and forgiveness. And this is someone, you know, this family and Karina got baptized here a few weeks ago. So let's really thank God for that. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Basil.
Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life.
Yeah, thank you, God, for coming into my life. Amen. Sonny. Oh, I can see what you're thankful for. Be quiet.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm just about to enjoy my second great-grandchild at the end of the month, a little boy, so I got to...
Thank you, God. What's his name?
Cage?
Gage. Is it okay if I pray for him? Okay. Yeah, this is Louise's grandson. Thank you, God, for Gage. Thank you for this new life. Thank you, Lord, that everyone is wonderfully and fearfully made. Every child, you formed him while he was yet in his mother's womb. And just pray for this little boy that he will grow to know you and love you, that you'll keep him safe, that you'll protect him. Thank you, Lord, for his mom. I just pray for her, too. And thank you that there is a grandmother who loves him and that she's a woman of faith, too. We are grateful, God, for new life. Amen. Amen. We've got time for a couple more.
Thankful for his patience, especially for someone like me.
And me. Oh, and me. How many people are thankful for his patience? Okay. Okay, good. Everyone but Luke. Okay. Sorry. Anyone else? What are we thankful for? Yeah, Don.
I want to thank him for choosing me. John 15:16 said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I thank you, him, for that, for salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jay.
I'm thankful for breakthrough in relationship with my family and with... Just
the ability to overcome.
Amen. One more. Is there one more? Okay, Kathy's last.
I just want to thank the Lord for a husband who is really dedicated to the Lord and has a compassion for people.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Pauline, you want to come up here? We're going to pray for you at the same time. We are excited to hear the truth, right? You can go lots of different places and hear untruth. We come here to hear the truth. We come here to hear what God's word says. So God, we all agree that we're thankful for Alvin and for the man of faith he is and for all the other things that we could lift up to you today and offer to you. We just say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are our provider. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that there's a better eternal life waiting for us. Thank you for healed relationships. Thank you for little boys and little girls that are born well and healthy. Thank you, God, for family and for friends, for this community that we're a part of and that we belong here. We say thank you, God. We just open up our hearts. We want to offer a sacrifice of praise to you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the baptism we're going to experience, maybe more than one, later this morning. And thank you for Brother Paulin. And I pray, God, that the power of your Spirit will lead him to speak truth to us today, and that as he speaks, your Holy Spirit would communicate, would translate that truth into our hearts so that we know what you're saying to us today and that you have something specific for us to hold on to today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You up here? I'll just...
I always want to say that, as Pastor always says, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. We really enjoy the worship team doing their praises and adoration to the Lord on this special day, which is called Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is not the name of denomination. If you go to a place which there is a sign there like a garage, that doesn't mean if you are in that place that you are a car. If you go to a church from denomination like that says Pentecost or Pentecostal, that does not automatically make you a Pentecostal person. You have got to be baptized or indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That would make you a Pentecostal person. And this morning, we are going to learn from the Word of God, which is about the Holy Spirit through the symbolism of oil. Sister Brenda said this morning that the Holy Spirit sometimes is very much like fire, like rain, like wind, and even like oil. So today, if you have your Bible, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. We will read several verses from verse 1 until verse 7. I don't know if we can have it on the screen, and then if we have it on the screen, we will read those seven verses alternatingly. I'll read the odd verses, and then you will, in response, read the even 1 or the verse after that. It is from 2 Kings chapter 4. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few." She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I'd like to begin by telling you a tale or a story about a young man who is so eager, who is so thirsty in his heart on finding God. So he went to visit an old wise man in his village. So he asked this old man a question: "How can I find God?" Well, the old man didn't say anything, but he took the young man to a river nearby. And the old man led the young man into the water, in the river. And they got deeper and deeper and deeper. And then suddenly the old man just dunked or pushed the young man into the water and hold him there for quite some time. Pretty much like baptism, eh? And he noticed, the old man noticed that this young man wobbled, gasping for air. And then he led the young man out from the water. Then they left the river. At the bank of the river, the young man asked the old man, he said a question like this: "What does that have to do with finding God?" Because he didn't get it. Well, the old man didn't say anything. He only concluded with a thought. He said like this: "What did you need most when you were under the water?" And then the young man said, "All I needed was air." Then the old man said, "That is the answer to your question on how to find God." He said, "If you are really desperate, as you are desperate for air, you will find God. You will find God." So my question this morning is, on this Pentecost Sunday, how desperate are you for the Holy Spirit, for the power of God, for the anointing from on high, for the power working in your life? How desperate are we in these last days? So let us pray. Father God, I ask you that you may open the eyes of our understanding, that we may see the beauty of your word. Penetrate and speak into every heart here, so that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we need the Holy Spirit in our life, so that we can be called the children of the living God. Without the Holy Spirit living in us, we cannot be called the children of God. So thank you, Lord. Open your word to us, and we want you to take out all the thing that is hindering our spiritual side. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to open with a premise by saying that each of us here is created by God to be the vessel of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a thesis. And later on we'll see how it is elaborated in this message. There's a verse in the Bible, in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessel." Earthen vessel is us. "That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So we are these earthen vessels. It's up to you, it's up to me, how I decide to fill in this vessel. God has given you a choice. God has given you a will. So let's decide to put into this vessel things that are honorable. God has a better plan for each one of us, for our life to fill us up with, just like that verse says in 2 Corinthians 4, to fill us up with the excellence of His power. That is His plan. We live in a day when everybody is more concerned. I mean, many people are more concerned with filling their cars, the tank of their cars, with gasoline, rather than filling their lives or the vessel of their hearts with the excellence of the power of God. Matthew 25 talks about the 10 virgins. Five of those virgins are wise, and the next five are foolish. They took their lamps, and they are waiting for the bridegroom. The five foolish virgins, they took their lamps, but no oil in the vessel of their oil, of their lamp. But the wise took their oil in the vessels with their lamps. I can see here that they go to the same place, they go to the same worship place, they sing the same worship songs, they hear maybe the same message, but the Bible says five are foolish, five are wise, What makes the difference is because the five wise virgins have oil in their vessels. That makes the difference. There are those who are hungry for God, and God will see to that that He will fill them with the excellence of His power. Many others may not realize how important it is for the oil of the Holy Spirit to be poured down into their lives. We have just read the story about a widow. And this widow, according to some other sources, was a widow left by the prophet who feared the Lord. His name is Obadiah. We remember at that time, there was a king, a bad king. His name was Ahab. His wife's name is Jezebel. And at that time, the situation in Israel was very bad indeed. I'd like to read verse 4 again. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Now, before I go further on this, I would like to say that many of us are like this widow. We have run out of everything. Running out of time, running out of options, running out of resources, running out of so many things in life. I don't know whether you have ever felt like this woman. And I don't know whether you have ever felt like the story or the tale that I told you earlier, like the young man that was pushed under the water, and you found that you are desperate for air. I don't know whether you have ever felt some emptiness inside of you. I don't know whether you are feeling desperate for God to pour out a miracle into your soul. Talking about this widow, she is facing hardship or difficulties in life. It is not because she squandered her money. It's not because of her mismanagement about her life or her family. Sometimes, even though you follow God, hardship may come, difficulties you may encounter, but thank God, if you cry out to Him, He'll show you a miracle. He'll show you a miracle. So the prophet Elisha here did not rebuke this widow woman because it is not because of her mismanagement on her money. She had a godly husband, was deceased already. You remember Obadiah? He was one of the prophets that hid and fed 100 people of God in the cave out of his own resources, out of his own income. So that shows us that this widow woman had a godly husband, had godly sons, and she had godly life as well. But in spite of all that, she was in a difficult situation. As I said, she cried out to God, and God showed him the way. God performed a miracle, an answer to her prayer. Now let me read verse 2. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" What does that all mean? Is it because this prophet is getting nosy? Is it because he wants to know everything about the life of this widow? No. The same question comes to me and to you today. What do you have in your life? What do you have in your house? Well, if a company asks you that question, maybe the question is, maybe they'd like to liquidate your asset. I don't know. But this question coming from God is not going to make you in the corner, but he'd like to know, God would like to know what we do have, however small, however little, however insignificant it is, if we sow it and give it to the Lord, submit it to him, he can perform something big and miraculous. And she answered, the only thing I had is only a little jar of oil. That's all. This is not the oil like the hydrocarbon oil and gas, no. It's very much like the olive oil, maybe. And that's it. That's the answer. That's all that this widow woman needed for a miracle to take place. That's all. If you remember the word of God in Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches." I love that word. According to God's riches. In glory by Christ Jesus. And you remember also the question Jesus asked his disciple when they were standing in the hillside, when Jesus was preaching to more than 5,000 people, and those 5,000 men, including their families, standing on the hillside, and they were all hungry. And the question that Jesus gave to his disciple is, how can we feed these people? Where can we buy bread so that we can feed these hungry people? This is a tough question from Jesus to his disciple. And if you remember that verse, this is written in John chapter 6. In verse 5 it says, "Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming." Coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that we may feed them?" I found out from this that God always has a plan of restoring us with exactly what we have. And the next verse is, "Shut the door behind you." And that is in verse 3. "Shut the door behind you." God may want to do something for you and for me that does not involve anyone else. And in order for faith to work more effectively, we have to shut all the avenues from the outside world so that that channel upward may be more effective. So shut the door behind you. Many times miracles take place behind closed doors. It does not mean that we don't need other people, other believers, to help us in our dilemma or predicament. But there are times that it's only between you and God for Him to work out a miracle in your life. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and this is written in Mark chapter 5, after he cleared the room of the people who did not believe. He cleared the room of the hecklers and of the scoffers. And the same thing Peter did also when he raised Dorcas. In the book of Acts, so when you need God to perform a miracle for you, you have to send out from your heart the spirit of doubt, the spirit of the scoffers, and any other spirit which is not in obedience to the Lord, from the room of your heart. The next thing that I see here is that this widow woman expects a miracle. God will give you as much as you have room to receive. So on this Pentecost Sunday, many people are saying, Lord, more of your Holy Spirit, more of your anointing in my life. That's a very good prayer. But the question may be, how much room in your heart, in your life, is being prepared for the Holy Spirit? Because the emptier our heart is, that's the better for the Holy Spirit to be poured down into our life. One thing that we need to learn here is obedience. This widow woman, I don't think she understood about what was going to take place. There is a war between her heart and her reasons. And many times, maybe we are in the same situations. Our heart, our faith says something according to the Word of God, but our mind, our logic and our reasons say something else. So obedience is very key for the miracle to take place. So she begins to pour from her own jar of oil. After she borrowed lots of jars from the neighborhood. So notice here, she just used the little oil that she had. And we notice here also that miracle had to begin in her heart first before the tangible outside external miracle is taking place. So the miracle should be taking place in our heart first. And this is how God operates. He needs something small from you, from me. And that something small from us will equal something big from Him. What I think is nothing to offer to the King of Kings is about to become our or my or your everything by the hands of God. God is asking a question today. Where are the empty vessels? I'd like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 until 21. It says, "But in great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." This is the purpose of God, so that we can be a vessel to be filled in by His Holy Spirit unto His honor. We have to get ready for the greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the upper room, more than 2,000 years ago, in Jerusalem, that had happened. But the book of Joel said the latter rain, the latter outpouring will be much, much bigger. Very much like Sister Brenda said this morning. So we have to get ready for that bigger outpouring. So if there are things in our life that need to be changed, let us not expect God to change them until we are willing to do everything that we can do to change first. Maybe we have prayed too much by saying, "Lord, change me. Lord, do this for me." But God says, what do you have in your heart, in your life, in your hand, in your house? Meaning, you have something, however small it is, however insignificant that effort is. You will do your part. Holy Spirit, God the Father, will do His part. We see here in this story, the question given to this widow, what do you have in your house? God did not look for empty jars and put them in the widow's house. It is her job. And God's job is to fill those empty vessels with oil from above. So how insignificant it is in our mind that we have, that we can do, it will be valued by the Lord. Ephesians 2:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly." That is the God that we serve. is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power, again, according to the power that worketh, that works in us. So let's not limit what God has for us, what God can do for us. Begin by finding every empty vessel. While you have been doing that in your life, those of you who want to witness for the Lord, you go into the street, you go into your workplace, wherever you are, you try to find the empty vessels. And you bring those empty vessels to the Lord. God pours down His goodness, His mercy, His forgiveness into their lives. And they become new people, new persons. The old is gone. The new has come. That's the way God wants to pour His blessing upon His children today. I don't think God wants to pour His blessing, His goodness, His mercy into the heart that is closed and that is filled with the filth of this world, with the cares of this life, and with all the sin of this world. He wants us to admit that we have been bankrupt. Nothing in us that is of value. We come to Him by saying, Lord, I need Your grace, Your mercy. Fill me with Your goodness. Fill me with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to preach today about the infilling or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time. When you invite Jesus into your heart, you have the Holy Spirit residing in your heart. But there is something different about the fullness, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us, even though we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, we need to be refilled again. The question, why is that? My answer is, because I am leaking. I need to be refilled again by God. I don't know about you. Are you? So in closing, my dear brothers and sisters, let's have an empty vessel to come to the Lord. On this Pentecost Sunday, He is more than willing to refill us again with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, thank You for the word that You have given us. It is Your joy to see Your children be filled and refilled again with the power from on high. Without that power, we cannot move on. We want to see Your glory. Amen. So reveal that in Your church here. Fill us, Lord. We are hungry for the Holy Spirit to refill us again, to re-energize us again in our walk until Jesus comes again. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am leaking. I need to be filled. I'm a quart short, you know. Thank You, God. Thank You that He keeps filling us up. Clay, you want to come up here? We're going to end the service with this baptism. And Clay, come on up. We sure are. Promise not to hold him under like that story we heard this morning. That's just going to scare people off. Thanks a lot for that. Is there anyone else that wants to be baptized today? Come on up. Gord, come on up. That's awesome. Anyone else besides Gord? Mike, you're coming up to just watch this, right? And we're sure glad Mike is here. Mike is here as a worker for Clay and as a great support. Thank you, God. Come on up, Gord. It's time, right? It's time for a new beginning. We're going to just take a minute. Clay, come up here a minute. I guess there's two of us, right? There's a time we need to just say a few words. It's important that there's a testimony here. They don't have to be long, you know, testimonies, but just a word that Jesus is our Lord. And remembering that at Pentecost, Peter proclaimed a message, and he said, repent. That's important. Repent and believe and be baptized. And that when that happens, he says, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the promises to you and to your children and to those who are far off. So, Clay, I'm going to just start with you. Is there something you want to say today? What's your story? You love Jesus?
I love Jesus. Yeah. And I think Jesus loved me.
He does love you. Yeah.
And all these people in here love me as well.
We do. Uh-huh. Amen. Good. You want to hold on? Tell us a little bit about who Gord is.
I went to a real dark place in the last few years, and I just need to rewash away my sins and that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think that's all that needs to be said. I've been through a pretty dark place, and there's a lot of us who understand that. There's a lot of us who have been through that. Most of us have been through those dark places. So I just want to let you know what you probably already know, that God loves you, and it's time for a new start. I really sense that, you know, that God wants a new beginning in your life. And I know that you've been through some dark places. God just says to you, Gord, that he loves you, and it's a blank, clean slate that he gives you. Kind of what we heard this morning, too, about all you can bring is just this little jar. It doesn't seem like there's anything in it, but he's going to fill it up. He's got some great things. And I know you and I were talking before about your children, and you had a chance to meet with your daughter for the first time in how many years?
Six
years. It was yesterday, right? Was it yesterday? Yeah. You guys want to give God a hand for that? Thank you, Lord. And I just, so right now, I just speak, God, thank you for Gord, and I pray that you will just bring complete restoration in his life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Put your arms around him, God. Thank you that he got together with his daughter yesterday. And I know that there's other children that he wants to see a restored relationship. Today we believe, Lord, that you redeem and you restore. And that as we go into the water, the old is gone. And that we're raised to newness of life. Thank you, God. Thank you that you fill with your Holy Spirit. And we repent. We stand before you needing you, Jesus. We've been through it all. We've been through prison. We've been through the darkness. We've been in the pit. But you lift us up. You lift us up out of the pit. So today, as a congregation, as a body, we just lift your hands up. Lift your hands up, people. We pray for these two brothers. We pray for newness. And for a brand new start and for a clean slate, there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. What can cleanse? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you include us and that you remind us by this washing today that we belong to you. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. What song do you have?
And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleasing that I never.
Sing it with me. You're a good, good father. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. Sing it out.
It's who I am.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's good. You say amen? We'll sing that one more time in between the baptisms.
If you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. Keep going. Yeah, just keep going. Yeah, keep going. Don't let the discouragement of the past have any effect on you. Just keep seeking him with all of your heart. Keep knocking. Keep growing. You'll find him in that quiet place. Yeah. Let intimacy grow, Lord. Let intimacy grow, Lord. Mighty new ways.
Yeah. Jesus. And I hear God saying, it's time for the prisoner to be set free, Gord. It's time for the prisoner to be set free. It's time to get out of that cell. It's time for really living life. You haven't been living life for a long time, but it's going to start. Amen? It's going to start. And God also says, you know, Gord, I don't even remember what you did. I don't remember your sins anymore. As far as the east is from the west, that's as far as I've cast them from you. And I love you because you're my son. As much as you love your daughter, as much as you love your children, he loves you even more than that. And it's a time for a new beginning for you. What's your, you love Jesus, Gord?
Yeah, I love Jesus.
Amen. What's your full name?
Gord Rousel.
Gord Rousel.
are perfect.
Sing it out.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Worship him.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
You're a good, good Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. God, loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am, you're a good, good Father.
Worship him.
Who you are,
who you are,
who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, who you are. Who I am, who I am.
Thank you, God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. God bless you all. Amen. Let him fill up your jar today. Go in the peace.
Father, it's who you are.